It's May 1915. Grandpa and Grandma are on their way to town to take the train to the orphanage at Sparta. As they leave, they stop at the Marstons, their closest neighbor down the road. Laura Marston and her mother, Mrs. Smith, are the only ones in whom Eunice has confided about the many miscarriages she's had since Trevor's birth 11 years ago. Eunice says to the Marstons' only child, "Oh, Eloise, we're going to get you a little playmate, just your age." Eunice and Wesson have longed for a daughter ever since their own first child died within a few hours of birth. At Sparta, they sign indenture papers for a beautiful, almost 6-year-old girl. She has light brown curly hair and a sweet face. Her most striking feature is her eyes, unusually large and blue. Eunice and Wesson are charmed. Her name is Agnes Gruce. The papers state that Agnes is to stay with the Dogans until she is 18, at which time they must provide her with 2 suits of good clothes and $50, and she will be on her own. The papers also instruct that she be taught a trade, at which she will be able to earn a living. Agnes has sisters and brothers at the orphanage, but Wesson and Eunice take only her. They are not told anything about Agnes' parents. They return on the train. At the farm, Agnes meets her new brothers, Ronald and Trevor, and they show her all over the house and barns. She is quiet and shy. She has her own room upstairs. Eunice arranges her few possessions in a drawer. That night, Eunice holds Agnes on her lap before bedtime. Agnes cuddles against her. Eunice says to her, "We've wanted a little girl for so long, ever since our own baby died. We're going to change your name to Esther after that baby, and after Esther in the Bible." Agnes's body goes stiff. She draws away from Eunice. She will not cuddle anymore. Hurt and upset, Eunice puts Esther to bed. A few days later, Eloise Marston is invited to a tea party. She arrives, all dressed up. Esther is dressed up, too. Eunice introduces the girls and brings in the tea. There's a small table and chairs, a cloth on the table. There's a small china tea set with a little teapot and diminutive cups. There are small sandwiches on a plate. Esther presides at the teapot. "Won't you have some tea?" she asks politely. "Oh, pardon me," she says frequently, even when there isn't any need. Eloise is disappointed. Esther is so proper, so exaggerated. What sort of fun can she be? When the party is over, Eloise says, "Goodbye, Esther." And Esther leans forward, her eyes suddenly hot and angry. "My name isn't Esther," she hisses. "It's Agnes, the name my mother named me." The weeks go by, and Esther turns out to be fun to play with after all. She loses her formality. Eloise decides that the first day was the result of the new situation and the training of the orphanage. Trevor is delighted with a new sister. After all these years, he now has someone who will look up to him and listen to him, and Esther is an avid listener. He sits on the flower box in the kitchen and tells her stories while she fills the wood box for him. She follows him around and admires his ability in running and throwing and shooting pigeons with his air rifle. Ronald is glad enough to have a sister, too, but he's 13 and busy with other things. Esther's coming doesn't particularly affect him. On her sewing machine, Eunice stitches sturdy play clothes for her new daughter. She makes her a dress for church and enrolls her in Eloise's primary class at Sunday school. She shows off her pretty little girl to all the other mothers. Esther smiles shyly at the attention. Esther's new father takes her with him to see the piglets and to watch the calves being fed. At night, he sometimes holds her in his lap, and they look at a picture book together. Esther settles so well into life on the farm that it isn't long before it seems as though she's always lived there. She and Eloise are best friends and share a desk at school. When Christmas comes, Esther receives a large and beautiful doll from her foster parents. She names the doll Agnes.